Welcome to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. On each and every episode, Brian talks with coaches, athletes, and performers in all arenas who are putting into practice the principles of peak performance that will help you close the gap from where you are to where you want to be, to help you become a master of the mental game, and to help you start dominating the day.
Hey, this is Brian Kane, your peak performance and mental conditioning coach with the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. And today we are with assistant baseball coach at Alvin Junior College, Jason Schreiber. He's also the author of The Millennial Method, A Modern Approach to Coaching Today's Generation of Technology-Driven Athletes. It's a book that I've had a chance to read now, and I think it's fascinating as a new technology to be able to use technology to connect with athletes. But to get this podcast started, Jason, if you would you please educate our listeners on, you know, your career, where you grew up as a player? I know you played at the U of H and were a Coug, and how you got to where you are today at Alvin Junior College.
All right, I played baseball at Bel Air High School. Out of Bel Air, we've had some good runs at Bel Air under Rocky Manuel.
Rocky, yes.
He's an interesting guy. He knows his baseball, though, I'll tell you that. From there, I went to the University of Kansas for a year, played under Dave Bingham. Had a great experience there. I loved my time at KU. Academically, I wasn't the best student, so I needed a junior college. So I went to San Jacinto Junior College for a season, and then finished my last two playing Brainerd Normal at the University of Houston.
And then once you got done playing, did you get a chance to play professionally, or did you go right into the coaching ranks?
I went right into coaching. I started coaching with the RBI program in the city of Houston. I actually got the opportunity to coach Carl Crawford and Jason Bourgeois one year.
Okay.
And both those guys played pro ball, and it was fun. But from there, I took one year and coached under Coach Rupp at San Jacinto College. And then Brian Alexander asked me to come and be his assistant, and I've been here 15 years. We've been having a blast winning some games and developing some guys and getting them moved on to the Division I level.
Awesome. And we got some players rolling in here as we are just outside the locker room. So we got some players rolling in, which is going to add to some ambiance in the background. So we'll take that into you know, consideration as we're doing this interview, that's where we are, what we got going. We bring it to you live here with the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast as we are inside of the locker room. And inside of the locker room here, Coach, I'm sure this was a place where you had to beat your head against the wall for a few years trying to figure out the best way to connect with the millennial athlete in this new generation, because kids are changing. Would you kind of give your story, which in reading the book is fascinating, and how you kind of came onto the millennial method and your progression into now using this fascinating technique for teaching?
Well, I was at a coach's convention, and a guy got up there and he started talking about how we retain knowledge. And he said we retain 10% of what we hear, 50% of what we do, and 90% of what we teach to someone else. And that 90% really resonated with me. I was like, man, 90%, that's something special right there. I got to get my guys teaching. But then as soon as that thought went into my head, I'll go, there's just not enough time to practice. There's not enough time to practice to have all my guys teach. But then I realized they all have cell phones, and every cell phone now has video capability. You know, why not have them teach back things to me that I want them to learn back in practice? And what I found was absolutely phenomenal. There's a strong correlation between social media now and making videos. And what these kids, they will not make a video of something that might embarrass them. So it forces them to learn exactly what coaches want them to learn, because they know they have to make a video about it. So they think, all right, well, I'll make a video. The video is usually expected to be shared with peers on Instagram or Twitter or something like that. They're not going to develop something on video that embarrasses them. So they will learn the skill. So,
and how did you get to this point? I know in the book you talk about, you know, in the first chapter about excuses or no excuses, and share examples of, you know, a player who was an excuse maker about being able to field the ground ball. Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit about that story in that part of the book.
Well, we had a player, and every opportunity that he made a mistake on, he made an excuse about it. And every coach has dealt with this player.
Yep.
He's there in pretty much every program in some form. And this one was probably my worst that I've ever had. And we tried communication, the normal coach-player communication for years about stop making excuses, you know, be coachable, don't tell me what you did, you know, or why this happened, just listen to coaching and, you know, move on, okay? But it never would come to that. So he made two errors on one play and made two excuses on the same, on why he made those errors. And I got frustrated with it, and I said, you're going to make me a video. I said, I want you to tell me why you make so many damn excuses. I said, just make a video and talk about it on your phone and let me see it. And, you know, I was very curious what was going to happen. So I thought maybe he might, you know, get down and dirty and tell me, you know, all the reasons why he makes all these excuses. But really, he just came back and he said, I don't know why I make so many excuses. I've done it my whole life. And the next couple of days of practice, when he made a mistake, he would look at his peers, who all knew that he had to make a video, which I'm sure he was cussing me about. He probably did not want to do this. But they would all look at him and go, are you going to make an excuse? Are you going to make an excuse? And he never made another. And it was incredible how that worked out. You know, I didn't know if it worked like that, but it really did. I mean, he never made another excuse the rest of the year.
You know, a couple other ways you mentioned using the millennial method of having guys make videos and sending them to you was talking about whether it's, you know, how to take a lead the right way or different, you know, technique aspects of baseball. Would you talk a little bit about them reteaching what you've taught them from a technique standpoint and how that's been effective?
It was very effective. And one of the main things was we wanted them to demonstrate and discuss it like they were teaching, like they were a coach coaching it to kids.
So it'd be like them teaching at a coach's clinic through the cell phone.
Exactly. Awesome. Exactly. And it was things that we had taught them before. And what I found was very unique was they may be able to talk about it, but then their demonstration was something different. Mm-hmm. It wasn't exactly, they weren't lining up. So we could go back with the video and go, hey, you're saying the right things here, but you're doing something completely different. How would you coach this player, which is you? How would you coach you? And that made a big difference with guys. They were able to see it and go, you know, my words are right, but my demonstration's wrong.
Yeah, that's fascinating. A philosophy that I subscribe to that I don't remember where I learned it was that the power lies in the question asker. Mm-hmm. You know, and especially with this generation, I think if the more you ask them questions about their performance or what do you need to be coached or, mm-hmm. you know, what do you need to do differently in this situation when we're watching the video, I think it removes some of that. From an athlete's perspective, is remove some of that confrontation that this guy's trying to tell me what to do versus you're now the facilitator as the coach to help them become the player they want to be. And because the way they've grown up, they've never really had face-to-face contact. Everything's been over social media. And if they mm-hmm. disagree with somebody, they just unblock them as a friend on Facebook. That's the end of it, you know.
Right.
So exactly. they have their social skills are getting worse, and it's going to continue to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with this technique, what you've discovered is a way for them to basically take a quote-unquote test to say, here's what I know, and you get the opportunity to see it. Talk a little bit about from just the administration side of using the millennial method as a coach. Do they videotape it and then email it to you? Do they text message it to you? Do they put it into a Dropbox? How do you get all the videos?
Last season, I would just have them bring me the phone, and I would press play on their phone. We've done some videos this fall, and we had them email it to us, and it actually worked out a little bit better because we could see it on a bigger screen on our computer, and we could raise the volume up a little bit better.
Do you ever show other, like, do you ever have maybe your hitters all send you videos about hitting routines and then get everybody into a room and show all the videos on the screen so that everybody can see each other's videos?
We have
just
not,
for you.
We have not done that.
Huh.
And, what we like to do with our mental routine stuff is it's a better way for me to be more familiar with their own individual routine. So in the past, you know, without the videos, I'd have them walk me through it and talk about it. But I couldn't remember all 28 guys' routines and everything they're doing.
Pretty there.
But with this way, I can come back and look at it and go, you know what, that's not exactly what he's doing in the game. You know, it helped me, you know, basically know everybody's routine a lot more effectively than trying to memorize everybody's routine. So, and then we could also go back and kind of compare it and go, hey, this is what you're talking about on your video, but that's not what's happening out there on the field.
What's the frequency that you'll have players do it? A video once a week? Is it once a month? Is it kind of on an as-needed basis? What's the frequency that you're asking them to make videos and send them to you?
In the early spring, it was quite often, probably 2 to 3 a week. And then as the season went on and we had things installed and we're kind of the day-to-day, you know, get more games than as needed were really when we needed it. So it was when we used it. Sorry.
Is any expensive experience that you could share in terms of mistakes that you've made or things that you've learned from starting with the Millennial Method until now that you might be able to share that expensive experience with our listeners so that they may not make those same mistakes or learn from your experience?
The only thing was they would not speak up in the videos. Like when they first started, I could barely hear them. But one of the things that we talk about here is being, we want to lead the nation in energy, lead the nation in communication. I had them speak louder. I wanted them to be more confident in their words and also raise the volume up on their phone. But when they did those two things, they felt more confident about, you know, all of the things that they were teaching us back. So I think that made a big difference in how we communicated as a team.
What is it, if I were a first-time user of the Millennial Method, what is it that I should know that you know now that maybe you wish you knew when you were getting started? Besides volume, is there anything else in terms of like giving kids more specifics about what you're looking for or what you're trying to get them to teach?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think I was a little vague on some of the things that I asked them to do early, and they'd go with it in their own direction, and I wouldn't, you know, it wasn't exactly what I wanted, but they did accomplish what the task was. So I learned to be a little more, you know, explanatory on exactly what I wanted them to teach me back.
You know, I was thinking as I was reading the book about, you know, one of the programs I work with that their pitching coach, you know, is very in tune with the mental game and wanting, you know, their his pitchers' routines. And I can imagine having every one of his pitchers stand there with the phone, starting by videotaping like their face, so that so when you just have the video on your phone, you know exactly whose pitching routine it is, and then them taking you through their pitching routines and their releases, like you talk about in the book, and then every time you ask them to do a new one, you would save that video as a pitching coach on your phone and delete his old routine, so that you know that the video you have on your phone that's his face is him talking about his routines and his releases.
Yes.
Jason, is there anything that I haven't asked you about the Millennial Method that you think is important that you want to reinforce for the coaches or people that will be listening to this interview?
We didn't really talk about it, but the most effective way that we used this thing was learning our plays. So in the early spring is when I put in our bunt coverage plays and our first and third plays. And what we did was I'd go over the plays, and then I would pick one play after practice and say, all right, teach me back our wheel play or whatever. And each guy would tell me what their responsibility on that play was. And then I could come back the next morning, hit play on their phones, and see if they knew exactly what we talked about. And the first day I did it, we didn't learn the play at all. We didn't know anything about that play. They gave me another play. Yeah. Like it wasn't even close to what I had talked about the day before, which taught me that I did a pretty lousy job of teaching the day before. But I was able to walk through each guy's responsibility on that play and show them where they made their mistake and everything before practice even started. And we went out there that day in practice, and that play that we talked about, that did the video on, we executed perfectly. It's the other plays we didn't know, you know, we didn't know very well at all. So the next day, that after that practice, I had them pick another play, and you know, I was excited to see get the feedback back to know if I did a better job of teaching for the most part, or if we actually did learn the play. And I don't know if it was me doing a better job of teaching or them knowing, hey, I'm gonna have to do a video on this, I better pay attention. But they did a much better job. We knew that play, and we probably learned our plays in a third of the time as it normally takes.
Could you see the millennial method working not only in baseball but in other sports as well?
Oh, absolutely. I've had a lot of basketball coaches call me and say, hey, you know, we're going to use this thing. I said, I'm excited to use it. And then one chemistry teacher said, I'm going to use it in my chemistry class and see if I can't, you know, take this to them. So.
Awesome. Talk about the book. You know, I know many people always say they want to write a book and they have ideas to write a book, and I fought that for a number of years. And then you get started, and you obviously got started and got finished, as I have the book in my hands right now as we're talking. Talk about your decision to write the book and then the book itself, mm-hmm. and where people can get it.
All right. The book, as the season was going on and we used these things, I'd take notes of how we were using the millennial method and, you know, different things as it was going on. And my father-in-law is a professional writer. And I was talking to him about the idea, and he was like, you know, we could make a book out of this, you know. And I said, yeah, I guess we could, you know. And he kind of helped me organize everything. Basically, he's the one that taught me how to write a book. And then it all came down to this. And we put it on Create Space, which is Amazon's free way to write a book. And found an illustrator, and it got done, so... It was pretty neat, and the feedback we've gotten has been very exciting. So
if people are interested in picking up a copy, they can get it through Amazon.com?
Amazon, all the e-books, and anywhere that they sell an e-book, it's there.
So. Awesome. And if people wanted to contact you about maybe coming in to speak, any way they can get a hold of you to come speak at a clinic or at their university, what's the best way for them to get you?
Cell phone? Can I give that?
Yeah.
Okay, 281-702-0735.
One more time, if you would.
281-702-0735.
Awesome. And Jason, let's shift gears here, if you would, a little bit from the millennial method, maybe into the mental game, because in the back of your book, one of the chapters you have is all about the mental game. And as I was reading it, I'm like, you know, this sounds like it's something that could be a book on its own. This guy's got a fountain of knowledge when it comes to the mental game of baseball. Jason, in the back of your book, one of the chapters, chapter 8, about teaching our mental routines, I thought was off the charts in terms of just the way you talked about the mental game, tying it back to the millennial method, but just the concepts you talked about, one pitch at a time, having a release, having a routine to be consistent, focusing on the controllable aspects of the game, I thought was tremendous. Would you talk a little bit about the mental game and just the success that you guys have had here at Alvin Junior College and what that means to you?
Well, it's your video, first of all, that we watch, so... We definitely believe in your stuff, and
what video is that?
I
Pride program.
It's the one with TCU going through their videos.
Oh, okay, man, that's old school. Okay,
yeah. Well, we're
good.
We don't have a lot of funding around here now. Can't always go out and buy the next video, but the stuff works. You know, we've believed in this concept for years and years, and we're only as good as our kids buying it.
Sure,
we believe in it 100%. But unless we can get our kids to believe in it, it doesn't work. And you've probably seen that before in your stuff. But our best teams, they've all bought into what we're trying to do on the mental side of the game. And I was at a convention, and there was about four junior college coaches talking to Wayne Grant and about his junior college days. And he mentioned four times in a 3-minute conversation, you have to impose your will on those kids. And that stuck with me for years. And we've been able to do it on, you know, our offensive philosophies, our fielding, our pitching, all of those systems. But on the mental side, you know, it's hard to know if they use it or not. But when we use the millennial method, I knew for certain that they were doing it because I had it on my phone. I could push play and go, hey, that's what his video should look like. That's what his routine should look like. I'm not getting that out there. I know he's not using it. So, but we are huge, huge into the mental side of the game and huge into mental routines. We just feel like it helps people just be consistent.
So. Awesome. Well, Jason, I appreciate you taking time to sit down and talk about the millennial method. And I highly encourage our listeners to pick up a copy of the book on Amazon.com and start to get your athletes to pull out their cell phones, because that's what they want to do, and get them to start making some videos and send them to you so you can check and make sure you know what they want to know. And the last thing I'd say is, when I was a high school teacher, I had a principal who was one of the greatest principals in Vermont history. She's a Hall of Famer, named Val Gardner. And I remember my first year of teaching, I'm teaching high school health, and I'm swimming upstream, not comfortable teaching high school health. And, you know, I remember her saying to me, she came in to watch one of my classes, and I had like a minute-by-minute breakdown of a, you know, 75-minute lesson on the board of what we were going to do. She said, Brian, when you start your planning, you always have to ask yourself this question, and it's a question that changed my life. She said, what is it you want them to get? How are you going to get it to them? How do you know that they got it? And I think the easiest question there is, what do I want them to get? The next hardest one is, how am I going to get it to them? And the one I always struggled with answering was, how am I going to know that they got it? How do you check for understanding? And I think a lot of times as coaches, we wait to check for understanding until the bullets start flying, and sometimes that's too late because we lose a game. And I think the Millennial Method might be the greatest technology or strategy that I've found so far, and here's how you check for understanding. Because they have to say it, they have to physically do it, and it's a great way for you to then, you know, have a conversation with that player or that athlete about their understanding of what it is you're trying to teach, and you get immediate feedback about how it is that you're teaching. And like you said a couple times in this interview, whether it was the wheel play or it was something other part of the baseball you're trying to teach, you realize that you didn't teach it very good because they didn't get it. And as we all know, man, it doesn't matter what we know as coaches, it matters what they know and they do as players. And I think this is one of the best strategies I've seen to help them to get there. So I thank you for bringing this to my attention and sending me a copy of the book. And I look forward to developing a relationship and getting you to speak at some clinics. And anything I can do to help you out, promote this, let me know.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. Please make sure that you visit briankane.com. That's briankane.com. And sign up for my Monday message, where every Monday I deliver straight to your inbox videos, interviews, articles, tips, techniques, and strategies that you can use to master the mental game. You can also contact me through my website on our Contact Us page and see my calendar of where I'm going to be in the country and when I'm coming to your area so that we can get together and that we can continue to go out there and dominate the day.
The Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast is part of the Top Coach Network. This is a production of Corn Belt Sports.